Welcome to the New Hope Sermon Podcast. We hope that you will enjoy this message and pray that God will speak to your heart and fill you with His Spirit. For more information about New Hope and to listen to more sermons, go to newhopemcpherson.com.
Father, at this time of year, as our eyes are filled with images of a manger scene, Lord, we're reminded of Israel waiting expectantly for the coming of the Messiah, and that indeed a day and time came in which you sent your Son into this world. Father, as they had waited and waited and waited, they kept their eyes upon you. And Lord, I pray the same for all the Christians that are here right now, Lord, that they would keep their eyes, the eyes of their heart upon you, even if they have prayed about something for a long, long time. May they trust that you have heard their prayers, Lord, and may they not give up. I pray for those now, Lord, that are right in the midst of the throes of a difficult time. And I pray, Father, that their eyes would not be taken off of you. Lord, we pray for endurance in much the same way as your people had before the coming of your Son, that we might endure and wait expectantly for your answer, because we know our help comes from you. Father, thank you so much for sending your Son to us, a reminder to us of the worth and value that we are to you. I pray, Lord, that we would claim you with that same value in our life. Lord, at this time of year, may our hearts be warm to remember our relationship with you and to place you first in our life and carry you first in our life throughout the coming year, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. We give your Holy Spirit freedom to move. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would find the same in our own hearts, Lord, freedom to move and to change us by your word. Lord, we ask your blessing on this offering and on the one we will receive at the end of this service, Father. May it be used for your kingdom. May missions work be done. May people come to know you as their Savior, and may people be discipled. Our Father, we love you. We welcome your presence here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, good morning, church. I'm glad that you're here this morning. If you brought your Bibles or have your Bibles on electronic media, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 5. We'll be there in just a moment. I love Christmas time. Don't you? Anybody? Yes. Thank you. I was worried for a minute that my microphone was off or that you all have fallen asleep, a long winter's nap or something. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that you can say the same regarding your presence here as well as your love for Christmas time. My family and I, early on, many years ago when the kids were little, we began establishing some traditions, and some of them are kind of silly, and I hope that you'll not think less of your pastor because we do these things. We watch It's a Wonderful Life every year as a family, and in fact, if you were to go up to the library and get the VHS, now young people, VHS was a plastic little box that you used to plug into a machine, and you would have to work to make sure that it was in complete sync so the picture and sound and everything was right. But we don't use those anymore. But if you go upstairs and get It's a Wonderful Life out of the library and pull the little card from there, you're going to find Pastor Jim written down for 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Now, we didn't stop this tradition. We got a DVD in 2013. We watch this every year as a family. We know what's going to happen, but it's part of our tradition. We've got other traditions as well, including going down to Dairy Queen and getting a blizzard and going around and looking at Christmas lights. And one of our traditions is putting up our Christmas decorations in the house, listening to Charlie Daniels' Christmas, okay? I'm sure many of you in this room have your own Christmas traditions. They're wonderful reminders to us at this time of year of the beauty and what the Lord has done in our heart. We don't substitute ever the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for tradition. Please do not misunderstand me. If we ever grow religious, friend, if we ever substitute tradition for faith in Jesus Christ, a vibrant, ongoing faith, then something's wrong. But I think there is a place for tradition as long as we keep it in its proper perspective. You can't help but think of Christmas when you think of the colors of this particular season. We generally think of Christmas and think in terms of reds and greens, but there's more, of course. There's white and blue and gold, as well as purple. And last week we considered in this series called The Colors of Christmas, the color purple and how it was so often associated with royalty. And thinking of the Lord, the King of Kings, being royal and stepping out of heaven, friend, you and I were reminded of the cost that the Lord paid on our behalf. Anytime, from this day forward, if it wasn't from last Sunday, I pray that it be from this day forward. Anytime that you see a manger with the baby Jesus in it, anytime you see the manger and think of the first Christmas and Jesus coming, anytime you see that scene, friend, in the same way as when you see the cross as the one that is behind me on the wall, friend, I hope that you will remember that God loves you very much and considered you valuable enough to step out of heaven, to leave his royal throne, and to come to earth to be born among men. Philippians chapter 2, the great emptying. Christmas, friend, began there when he stepped out of heaven. The price of the human soul is evidenced there when he stepped out of heaven. And the Lord declared very clearly to each one of you, every single one of us in this room, I love you, I love you, I love you. I was willing to step out of heaven. When you think of the colors of Christmas, friend, I want you to think of the color purple, because the Lord Jesus was in royalty in heaven and stepped out of that to come to earth to be born among men and declared for all time, this is the value of the human soul. How sad when people look in the mirror and hate themselves. And yet that's what our society often does to people. We derive our value from what other people think of us. We derive our value from our bank account, our value from our job title, our value from the things that we have. Our self-worth comes from those things according to this world. And a lot of people spend their whole life seeking to fill the void on the inside. As Christians, you and I should be the most at peace on the inside. Because the cry of the human heart is to be fully known, and the cry of the human heart is to be loved unconditionally. And as Christians, we know that better than anyone else. We are thoroughly known, and we know we are thoroughly known. We are thoroughly loved, and we know we are thoroughly loved. And the manger scene, just like the cross, is evidence of that love. Friend, if you are not at peace with those things on the inside, my prayer for you is you might get before the Lord, perhaps, I'm not accusing anyone, please, it's very common in our world, to take our eyes off of the Lord and place them on the same values that the rest of the world does. Rubbish to that. The world tells us our value comes from what we have. God says you're valuable because I made you. And once you and I are at peace on the inside, once we're at rest on the inside, then we're able to live fully for the Lord. The soul felt its worth, friend, when the Lord stepped out of heaven. And that, friend, is the beginning of the Christmas story. That, friend, is the first color of Christmas. Today we're going to be in the book of Romans for a minute as I introduce you to one of the most common colors of Christmas and what it means. Interestingly enough, this color of Christmas in terms of frequency, any science people in here, light frequency, it's on the opposite end of the light frequency spectrum from purple that we just studied. Paul wrote the book of Romans to the church at Rome as they were undergoing persecution. He wrote them not only to detail theology, but to encourage them to hold fast because persecution was coming. City of over 1 million people, the center of the known world at the time. All roads lead to Rome. You've heard that. That's literally true. Well-paved roads, well-maintained roads. Many of them still exist to this day from ancient Rome. A lot of commerce going on and fanned out throughout the empire. It was during a time in Rome history in which it was called Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. It was generally a peaceful time. And you had all of the road system going out. You had general peaceful time, and the gospel was able to spread like fire at that time. But by this time, as Paul is writing this letter to the church at Rome, a distancing is taking place, a distancing between the Jews and the Christians. You see, if you were a Roman citizen at the time, you probably thought Christians and Jews, they're kind of all the same. Jews began to push themselves away from Christians and say, no, we're not the same as those people who follow after the Lord. We're not the same as them. And that distancing had begun to take place, and very slowly Rome began to see that Jews did not like the Christians either. The whole opportunity for persecution to take place was building. And all it took was Nero's match and a lie and the persecution began in earnest. Tradition tells us that shortly after Paul wrote the book of Romans to the Roman Christians there, that he and Peter both were martyred for their faith. And so he's writing the book of Romans to encourage them. If you found chapter 5, I want to read to you a very familiar verse. Chapter 5, we're just going to read one verse together this morning as we go to God's word together. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. May God bless the reading of his word. The words you just read there are very core to the Christian faith, very core to our theology as Christians. And in fact, for those of you who want an easy way to lead your loved ones to Christ, that you're worried in your heart of hearts that you can't remember all the details of theology, I'm going to tell you it right now. It's actually easy to remember, because what you have here, in the same way they say all roads lead to Rome, you have the Roman road in leading someone to Christ. This is part of the Roman road. The scriptures all coming from the book of Romans. If you want to write these down, this will help you around the dinner table if you have unsafe friends, or around the water cooler if you have unsafe coworkers and you want to share the gospel with them. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, we just read it. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, friend, let that sink in. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23. So you have 3:23, 5:8, 6:23. And I just went blank. Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and Romans 3:23. I apologize. For the wages of sin is death. Your pastor's getting older, all right? I know, I probably need a vitamin. Anyway, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then you come to Romans 10, 9, and 10. Now I just went blank again. Thank you. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart man believes, and it is counted to them as righteousness. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in the sight of God, which is your spiritual act of service. All of those verses, friend, come from what's called the Roman road, and the one we're looking at today is pivotal in this. While you, dear friend, you and me, we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Let your eyes go back up to verse 1 for just a minute, if you will. First four chapters, Paul is trying to explain to us that because of Jesus Christ, we are justified. In chapter 5, he switches gears and says, friend, more than that. So when you see, therefore, having built the whole case that you and I are justified now in Christ, he says the following: since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Every single one of us in this room understands peace. If I ask you to write down a definition for peace, chances are most people in this room will write down the following: cessation of hostilities. Just me. But friend, what he's teaching here goes so much further beyond that. If I passed a sheet of paper, most of you would write indeed the cessation of hostilities. Most of you would write down that hostilities are no longer exist. That what he means here by this is that there's no longer a war taking place between man and God. But I just told you the word peace there means shalom. If I ask you to write down the definition as best you could for a 50-cent word of theology like justification, many of you would say, well, in Christ we're made right. That is, in Christ we're able to gain access into heaven. But friend, it's so much more than that. If you and I went before a judge and we were in awful, awful trouble, and we were in bad trouble, picture this, friend. We were hauled into a courtroom and we're in terrible, terrible shape. And whatever comes out of that judge's mouth next will determine our future. And that judge looks at each one of us and says the following: you know what? I'm going to let you go. That's justification. We've now been justified because of the work of Christ. We've now been released from the debt. We are now freed from the debt. But friend, it's so much more than that in Christ. Because it's not just justified. Friend, he goes on and reconciles us. Is anyone here? Reconciliation, you know what that is. It's not just that you and your family member or you and your coworker are no longer fighting and you go, okay, what? Fine, we're calling a truce from now on. It's more than that, friend. It's God Almighty reaching out to you and restoring the relationship. It's refriending. It's far more than simply being justified, friend. In Christ Jesus, we are now reconciled. It's not just Pastor Jim laboring to prove to you that God is kind, that he has extended kindness to us, such that we walk out of here going, okay, I get it. God is a kind, loving God. No, friend, it's far more than that. He demonstrated his kindness. We don't need to question it anymore. He demonstrated his kindness. He showed us his kindness. It's not to remain up here. It's to come 18 inches further and to go into our heart. And we could do nothing at all to earn it. I can sit here and I can tell you, friend, that God is no longer angry with you in Christ, and he's not. He poured out his wrath on his Son. He's not seeing red with us in anger. But friend, there's far more than that. He's bidding you to come. His arms are open wide, ready to throw around you. I don't know what picture you have of God, friend, but there's a whole lot of people that picture him as an angry old man sitting up on a throne waiting to zap you for the slightest infraction. How do you justify such a picture in the face of God's word that we just read? Where does that come from? How do you come up with a picture like that of God? My prayer right now, friend, is I've just taken a sledgehammer to that picture in your mind. I've just taken a sledgehammer to that particular stained glass image of God as an angry man sitting up on a throne ready to zap you for the slightest infraction. God not only justified you in Christ, but he reconciled. His arms are open wide. And at the core of the gospel is this. There is a wide open door through which you may go because of Jesus Christ. You are welcome. You are bid to come through that door. Say, I'm a bad person. If you really knew me, Pastor. And that, dear friend, is why I had you take a highlighter to the word helpless. Because such we all are. We're helpless. What is being taught here in God's word is not that once Jesus died on the cross, now all of humanity is saved. What's being taught here is all of humanity has an open door in Jesus Christ. You are bid to come, and you don't find a God who is reluctantly unhooking your shackles. They're going, fine, I'll let you go. You find a heavenly Father on the other side of the door with his arms open wide, ready to embrace you. You ever been really hugged by somebody that you love? When you thought they were really, really angry with you, you found out they weren't. And you sheepishly walked toward them wondering whether or not they would accept you, and they did. And in that very special moment, you threw your arms around each other and you didn't just give them that kind of side hug Christians do or that kind of, hi, how are you? It's bam, pull them toward you and hug them and hold them, and you're straining and you can hardly breathe because the hug of the arms around you. You want to know my God, friend? That's my God. And that's what awaits you on the other side of the door. There's not a single person in this room, no pastor, no coworker, no relative, nobody that can force you to go through that. The color red, it's a symbol of love. The color red, God's no longer seeing red when he looks at you in terms of anger. The color red, it's the blood of our Lord. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were helpless and still sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, I will close with this, but I would ask you this morning, while God does not see red when it comes to us, I have to ask you an honest question and I will close. Are you angry with God? Do you see red when it comes to him? Life has a way of beating us up. Tragedies and difficulties, suffering, can often cause a wedge to come between us and the Lord. People who once loved the Lord, perhaps because of life and the hardships, may find that their love for him has cooled off. More than that, they've grown angry with the Lord. The Lord has given us the opportunity for peace. More than just no longer a battle, but shalom. Peace. Deep soul peace. And there are many Christians, because of their anger for the Lord, their anger at the Lord, because whatever it was he allowed happen in your life. Brother and sister in Christ, I cannot speak and answer for what it is you've been through, but I can tell you this. If you will let go of the suffering that you've hung on to, or that event that took place in your life, if you will hand that over into the hands of the Lord, yield your anger for the Lord to him, I want to encourage you to do so, friend, because you're going to find your Heavenly Father standing there. No suffering that you go through, friend, is ever wasted in the economy of God. The difficulties of this life remind us this world is not the way God created it, and they're meant to drive us to our knees. Would you bow your head with me? Father, for the soul that comes face to face, perhaps for the first time with the gospel, it's truly a beautiful thing. And Father, it's quite possible that there are people in the sound of my voice right now who have, there to be honest, have pictured you as an angry man ready to zap them at the slightest infraction. And what I've shared with them today is something quite different from your word. Father, I pray for those in this room who perhaps for the first time have heard that you bid them come. It's my prayer, Lord, that they would feel that hug from you like I just described. That they would feel you throw your arms around them and pull them in tightly such that they could hardly breathe. Father, I pray that today would be the salvation day for someone. That they would recognize that they're a sinner like all the rest of us. And believing the pastor's message from your word on the inside would go running straight towards you. Your son Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through him. And your red blood. Father, I pray, want to pray too for those in this room who may have allowed a wedge to come between them and you. For whatever reason, perhaps they've stopped praying. Perhaps it's been a difficult thing that's happened in their life, something that has caused them to pull back. I pray, Father, that this Christmas season, on hearing about your love and seeing your love, Father, that they would no longer see red in anger toward you, but instead they would renew their relationship with you and find shalom. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we thank you for your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the New Hope Sermon Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and strengthened in your faith through this sermon.